Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning to you on this beautiful day in September. It's still officially summer, so that's why you're going to feel this warm weather. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. We're taking your calls at 1-800-465-8770, talking about something very important right now. Hilmer, thank you for staying on the line.
Yeah, the most common potentially fatal cancer in men, is prostate cancer.
Yes.
At any rate, when I was a lad in medicine, because, I've been practicing now for 48 years, they used to turn off the testosterone completely and permanently. We just shut it down. And what they found, though, was as the years went by, the conversion of relatively slow-growing, indolent, androgen-sensitive tumors would mutate into insensitive tumors that started growing really fast, spreading quickly, and killing the patients. So then the question became, okay, at what point should we not turn it off? And so there, over the last 20, 30 years, there have been a series of protocols. You give it to them for a year on, a year off, 2 years on, 1 year off, 3 years on, 2 years off. What do you do? It is relatively rare now for doctors to choose to shut down androgen totally and permanently because we don't want to take the risk of converting that slow-growing, fairly indolent tumor into a very aggressive killer tumor. And so we let the guy have back his testosterone intermittently. But it turns out now that testosterone, while there's a threshold effect, if you have none, androgen-sensitive tumors don't grow much. But then if you have a little bit, now that's enough. And once you cross that threshold for growth, it doesn't matter how much you add. You can double it, triple it, quadruple it, keep adding more and more testosterone. The tumors don't grow any faster, and the risk from them doesn't get any worse. So used to be urologists were terrified of testosterone with prostate cancer. And now I'm finding a fair number of urologists are starting to tell their guys, you don't even have to go off your testosterone. Yes, you've got a prostate cancer, but if you need your testosterone supplementation for other reasons, you can keep it. So the fear of testosterone is kind of appears to be outdated among many of the urologists out there. So that's a change in the profession, I think. The other thing, though, is that why else would you use testosterone? Well, it's because testosterone is a neurotropic compound. It affects the way you think and feel. And without adequate testosterone, severe depression becomes a big problem with a lot of men. And it turns out that when you shut down men's testosterone levels with these drugs and basically take them to castrate levels, you double and sometimes triple the suicide rate.
Wow.
Because many men would literally rather die than live the way they feel without the testosterone. So, there's a trade-off there. What are you doing to the prostate cancer? What are you doing to his quality of life? And so, you know, these, you're treating the whole patient, and you have to consider everything that's involved with this patient. Now, let me get over to something you alluded to, and that is now using testosterone to treat really aggressive prostate cancers, which is, I've only seen a couple of papers on this one, but it's kind of a fascinating concept. These were papers that were addressing men that indeed had an androgen-resistant or an androgen-insensitive prostate cancer, the kind of prostate cancer that grows like wildfire and spreads early and has a high propensity for killing men and does not respond to testosterone either way. What this one group has done is they've started pounding these guys with super high doses of testosterone for fairly short periods of time and then taking it away and then putting them back on the testosterone and then taking it away. And it appears that in a significant number of those tumors, they were actually able to reconvert the testosterone-insensitive tumor back into an androgen-sensitive tumor that then would grow more slowly and cause less trouble. So
yeah, right. That's what you're describing.
Yeah, and that's for a special situation with a tumor that has already done that aggressive mutation. That's not for the average guy.
Right. Now, can I ask one more question regarding senescent cells? Because you know, I as you might know by now, I'm on the metformin and the rapamycin. Compared to detasinib, which is like the nuclear bomb of senescent cell removal, right? Am I just using six shooters or something?
These are sirtuin. These are the silent influencing genes that we're impacting. And so when you're impacting sirt1, you're not killing senescent cells per se. You are significantly inhibiting the production of new senescent cells. And so then if your immune system is able to clear cells fast enough, you get a decent effect. But there's the difference in the senescent cells, and then there's the SIRT1 effect, which is in growth rates of new tissues and in autophagy. That is the propensity of cells to die and turn over. And the metformin and the rapamycin both have a positive impact on the autophagy. So that's good. And they also seem to have a good impact on the mitochondrial turnover. So that's also good. But they are not aimed specifically at anti-senescent cell therapy. Okay, they're approaching longevity from a slightly different approach.
Okay.
And, of course, being a risk taker, I do it all. So,
yeah. Yeah, because I haven't graduated to your levels yet. So,
but you're striving well.
To where you are.
That's right. You're doing well, Hilmer.
That's right.
Anyway,
thank you
for the call. Lots of great information there. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Hilmer.
Have a great weekend. We're going to continue on the same topic of senescent cells. We have Michael from Wallingford on the line with his question. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thank you for your great talk this morning. A question I've wanted to ask you for some time. I've been taking a supplement from Life Extension for years, and I'd like to say I've hardly aged a day since yesterday.
Okay.
But this stuff, it's called their senolytic activator, and it's got fisetin in it, along with quercetin, and something called apigenin, which I don't know what that is. But their dosage is a tiny, tiny fraction of what you were talking about. They want you to take this once per week, and the fisetin, for example, is just 312 milligrams. So what's with this product? Does that make sense?
I think they're underdosing significantly. And the apigen, I don't know. That's not one that I've researched. I had a dive into that a little bit. One of my doctors asked me about it this week, but I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Would apigen mean for apoptosis?
That's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing that they just put a proprietary name on a compound that I may well know by another name. Bill Falloon owns Life Extension. And Bill's kind of an interesting character. He is very upfront by the fact that he intends to be immortal. He never plans to die. and I've told him several times, I admire your ambition, but I have very little faith you're going to be immortal, Bill.
Indeed.
It's Life Extension. It's a good group. They've been around a long, long time. We tend to be a lot more hands-on. They're more in the business of selling supplements and laboratory work. They don't really do medical care. So it's a little different approach.
Okay. Well, many years ago when I started this, it seemed to add some legitimacy to it, with once a week, because I know you've spoken for years about with the expense of senescent cell therapies you do, they have to be spaced out. So I just wondered. So anyway, I'll adjust the dosage, and there's nothing wrong then with taking the Ficetin daily then, and the Okay, great.
Some of my docs use Ficetin more freely than others, but it's something we use for a fair number of people.
Okay, and then I'll look forward to hearing you talk about the apigenin in the future when you.
All right. I've had a little time to do some research. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call, Michael. Phone lines are open for your calls, too, and your questions for Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio today for Leading Edge Medicine. Give us a call. We'll get right to your question about your health, about aging, some of the symptoms you're dealing with, some things, maybe a diagnosis you don't quite understand. We could talk with you about that, or maybe a loved one. And, of course, we always love hearing from our longevity patients on how well they're doing, too. So if you're one that started with us 1 year ago, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, give us an update. We love hearing from you, and hopefully you'll encourage others as well. Here's that phone number for you to get through today on the show. Phone lines are open, by the way, at 1-800-465-8770. Now, we're going to take a break in about a minute, but Dr. Mixon, we have something happening at the clinic, and this is next weekend. It's the gallery test, and we still have some room for you, so why don't you explain what the gallery test is? And I'll give the number for them to make that appointment.
All right. Well, the gallery test is sometimes referred to as a liquid biopsy. We draw some blood, send it off to a specialized lab that are looking for tumor markers, proteins in your bloodstream that are released by cancers. And they've got the tumor markers identified for 50 different cancers. Mm. So one blood test, it does a screening for 50 different cancers. And so by looking at the protein makeups, they can say, this has the markers of a pancreatic cancer or an ovarian cancer or a, colorectal cancer or whatever. And they can pick up these tumor markers years before you would have any symptoms from the cancer. So it tells us that there's probably a cancer there, but it may be very early and very small, and it would not otherwise have been detected. And so we are doing this this test from, I think it's from 9 till 2 on Saturday.
And this is at all three of our clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood.
Okay. It is by appointment only, because we have to have people there to draw your blood and fill out the forms and so on, get it all packaged up to send off to the labs. But it's a fascinating test. Also, because we're doing so many of them, the lab has been cutting our cost. And so it was $1,250, which was $25 per tumor. Mm-hmm. And now it's down to, what is it?
I think it's just under 1,000. So
yeah,
900
something.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yes, it is, it is an out-of-pocket expense. It's not covered by insurance as yet. But you're able to screen for 50 different cancers. And normally, our normal cancer screenings, we only have them for 5 tumors.
Yeah.
We have mammograms for breast cancers. We have Cologuard or colonoscopies for colon cancers. We've got PSAs for prostate cancers. You know, we've got a few others, but this is now one blood test that screens for 50 different cancers. And so I've had mine done. Samara's had hers done. I think all of our doctors have. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we've done a whole lot of them. And here's the interesting thing. Our goal, of course, is to have your test be negative.
Yes.
So we can say, okay, we've now screened you for 50 cancers and you're clean.
That's right, which is great news.
But we have found some tumors that would have otherwise been missed.
That's right.
And so we have saved some lives already.
Which is also some good news.
It's good news because we found these people's cancers before they had any symptoms. They had no hint that they had a cancer.
That's right.
Until we did this test, found it, sent them off to the oncologist to do the confirmatory test, and indeed, we confirmed they had the tumors, they were able to be treated, and will most likely do very well simply because we found it so small and so early.
Yeah.
So this is a test I strongly encourage everybody over 50 to get.
Yeah, it's not something that your primary doctor is going to just do just to out of curiosity.
Most don't. Well, and again, it's because most physicians these days are driven by what insurance will cover.
Yeah.
Okay. If insurance company doesn't cover it, they assume the patient doesn't want it, and they don't offer it.
Ah, okay.
Okay. And so it's true the patient might not want it if they got to pay for it. On the other hand, they might think they're worth the money.
That's right.
You know, it might be you think your life is worth $1,000.
Absolutely.
And in which case, you'd say, you know, the insurance company may not care if I die, but I care.
I do. I care.
So I'm going to do the test.
Absolutely. And the test, like you had mentioned, is less expensive now than it was last time we did this at the beginning of the...
You know, that's the way it is almost always in the world. When you do a higher volume, the price starts going down.
Here we go. And we're passing that savings right on to you. To make your appointment for the Galleri test, which is next Saturday at all three of our clinics, here's the number to call. 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. We'll be back with more calls. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We'll be right back. Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon today, and we're taking your phone calls. We're live in the studio on this gorgeous day with that neon orange sun outside. Wow. Let me give you the number to call. The phone lines are open for you, and we can get right to you. 1-800-465-8770. Questions about your health, your diagnosis recently, maybe about something you've been dealing with for a long time, and you could use some answers. We would love to help you. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. We are going to head to Olympia now. Dale is on the line. Hi there, Dale. Welcome.
Good morning, Dale.
Why, good morning. I just wanted to take and say that I've recently taken and started your program. And I also have had Northwest Vision taken to surgery on my one eye. But I have a sty forming in my left eye, and I wondered if any of the medication that they had had me on,
Dr. Michael Gilbert?
Michael Gilbert had me on, was going to take and would it treat the sty, or if there's something other than that that we needed to treat the sty with. And that's what I'm calling about.
All right. Well, let's see if Michael is around. Of course, since it has to eyes, I always defer to him if he's available.
There we go, putting the bat signal out.
But I also know that Michael was going to Europe on a couple of week bicycle trip.
Oh, boy.
Yes, he's one of our.
There.
Remember, he's one of our patients, and so he's a very aggressive, active sort of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what his timing was. So I don't know if he's back in the country yet or not. So, okay. Michael, if you are in the country,
bat signal.
That's right. Answer your bat signal and call us up. And now I'm going to give him my longevity doctor's opinion about his sty.
Okay,
but
yes.
I am
first
not
of
the
all, what is a sty,
I'm
doctor?
Not the Dr. Sty is just a little infection, usually in the lashes down just right.
Oh, yes. Gets a little bump.
Yeah, you get a little red, irritated
itchy,
bump.
Okay.
And for most people, it doesn't take antibiotics or anything aggressive. For the vast majority of people, just warm, wet compresses.
You
know, take a clean washcloth, run some nice hot water. You're not trying to burn your eye. You're not trying to scald your skin. But you are trying to put enough heat and moisture there to increase the blood supply. Mm. You dilate all those small blood vessels, and that allows your body to get the immune factors in to kill the bacteria that are usually causing the sty. And mm-hmm. the vast majority of the time, just warm, wet compresses about 3 to 4 times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and bedtime, is enough to clear it in a few days.
Very good.
Very good. Hopefully that will work for you.
That's from my old country doctor days. You got to remember that for the first 21 years of my practice, I was a small-town country doctor.
Right. And I appreciate both of you guys and have listened to the radio for quite a while and I surely enjoy hearing all of your programs and enjoy Yamira too when she's there
it's
very wonderful.
Well, Samara will be back soon. She's got some family activities. I think she's got a relative getting married, I think, in Canada.
Oh, boy.
She had one in B.C., and now I think she's back in Toronto.
Okay.
And then she's off to India for a week.
Okay. So, lots of family this time of year.
Lots of family. But then she'll be back. And, of course, mm-hmm. I've got some meetings and stuff I'll be running around to. So we take turns. That way we always have somebody here.
That's right.
Right.
But anyway, I am interested. What was it that made you come up to the decision to come to Longevity Medical Clinic?
Yes.
Well, I took and I had listened, and it seems that my cognitive things have slipped a little bit with my age, and so being 74, I have... felt that, and that was one of the basic things that took and brought me to your clinic.
Okay. Well, let me give you a little hint then. Mm. since you're just a kid at 74, because I'm 77, and everybody younger than me is just a kid. You got to recognize that.
I'm a kid.
Well,
I'm
I understand that. I do that. I say that to other people, too.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, because I ain't old.
No.
The rest of you are just a bunch of kids. There's a compound that we carry called cognazine, and it's a branded name for a compound called citicoline. And citicoline is converted very quickly in our system to acetylcholine, which is the primary neurotransmitter in our brain. And as we age, we make less acetylcholine, and our neurons become more resistant to it. So we don't respond to it as well, and we don't make as much as we used to. And so boosting that citicoline level, which then in turn within hours raises acetylcholine, it has a significant impact on your speed of processing, how quickly you can come to answers.
Okay.
So that's one of the components that I have in a new supplement that I'll be bringing out as soon as I can get the packaging people cleared with the government, damn it, that has two components. It has the citicoline for upfront impact. It starts improving your thinking within the first month or two. And then there's a second component that has actually two parts, which is lutein and zeaxanthin. And that then has an impact on the neuron's membrane permeability. And so that one takes about 6 or 8 months to get working. So we've got a faster component and then a slower component. But between the two of them, it improves cognition dramatically in relatively young people. But in us old-timers, it makes a real difference. And so that supplement with both components will probably be on the market, I'm hoping, sometime this year. I thought by now, but of course I've been disappointed several times. But I think we're on the final stretches now. So somewhere here in October, November, early December at the latest, it ought to be available. We're going to be calling it Think Factor. So that's one that when that's available, you probably want to grab it.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, just have your longevity doctor get you on the citicoline. But you want to take 3 capsules a day. Because you need 500 milligrams a day. And so it takes 3 capsules to get 500 milligrams of the stuff that's currently sold.
Okay.
All right?
I'm sure that Dr. I think Dr. Peck Pentland will put me on that when you get it on the market then.
Yeah, he will. But like I said, he can start you on the citicoline now and get you a head start. Because if you're noticing cognitive changes, I want you as smart as possible, as fast as possible.
I appreciate that.
All right.
I appreciate your time and your help, too. And okay. I've gotten help just by listening before, so I'm really appreciative of that.
Great. Well, thank you for the call, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Dale.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go to break here in just a moment, but wanted to let you know phone lines are open. If you've got a question, if you were hoping to get through last week and couldn't quite make it, now's the time. 800-465-8770 is the number. That's 1-800-465-8770. And want to let you know that we have an awesome opportunity coming up for you, all of you listening, in the next few months. Yeah, in the fall, an opportunity for you to meet Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. We've got something exciting. It's in the works. We're going to explain that in just a moment. Stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
And it wasn't even recreational.
Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone.
Usually that's a prelude to some fun.
Oh, and good morning. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Samira Umat has the next few weeks off. And we'll find out all about her excitement when she gets back. But we're excited here at Longevity, something just in the works. We don't have a date yet, but Dr. Mixon, why don't you let us know?
Yeah, we got a tentative date, but it's not firmed up yet.
We have a month, maybe.
A tentative month,
November.
We are looking, we have not done seminars in years and years and years. And it occurred to me that there's a whole lot of people that have been patients in the past, but for one reason or another are not currently patients. But we've developed a lot of new techniques, the senescent cell therapies, the rapamycin, all the new stuff we're doing that we weren't doing 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so we're thinking about holding a nice big seminar, put it in a hotel ballroom downtown Bellevue in, I'm thinking about the 9th of November.
Okay.
I want to get it done before Thanksgiving.
Because,
and then once you're after Thanksgiving, everybody's getting ready for Christmas. That's not a good time to do
it. Yes, that's true.
In January, everybody's broke from Christmas, so that's not a good time to do it. So it's either do it in the first half of November or wait for Valentine's Day. And so we're going to try to get it put together for early November. I'm updating the seminar that we used to do, having to take some stuff out in order to put in a lot of new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be talking about everything from senescent cells to cancer to immune systems and resistance, and how do we enhance our survival if we do have a cancer diagnosis and that sort of thing. And since we are sitting here in this big video studio, which, darn it, we're not videoing today.
Not today. So bummed about
that.
You look so pretty, Dr. Mixon, your skin.
I wore my pretty salmon shirt and everything.
Yes, you did, which makes your skin just glow.
Yeah, but we are We are hopefully going to start video casting this along with the radio.
Yes,
we're so
anxious.
In the next few weeks, I'm just, you know. We're also going to be filming that big seminar. So we're looking at putting together a large seminar, bringing in a film crew and lights and cameras, and then maybe doing a book signing for a couple of hours before the seminar starts. So I get to, you know, let people get my book and get a signed copy of it. And then we'll move on to the seminar.
All right.
So if they're interested, if you guys would like to come to a live seminar, catch up on a lot of the new stuff that Longevity is doing and the reasons you might want to come become a patient. Or if you just like to be there for the filming and cheer and clap and have a little fun with us.
And meet Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat.
Yeah, or come in and get a copy of the book and
absolutely.
And this a fresh signature. It's all going to be available. And I think, and I'll find out for sure Monday.
So okay.
Samara would probably be wagging her finger at me if she were here.
I'll do it instead.
She hates it when I say things too soon. But we're going to find out Monday whether the film crew
is available for that day.
Because I know they've got Brian's got a job in Europe a couple of weeks before that, and I have to make sure he can be back and get set up to do our filming.
Wonderful.
for the seminar. So, but assuming that we are going to have our film crew there, it would be November 9th.
Okay. And in the afternoon, around
3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Very good. That's
Saturday.
Exciting. And that's just a little tease. We will get all the details and have that all cemented.
All nailed down. By next weekend.
Absolutely. That sounds wonderful. All right. We're taking your phone calls. We love talking with you today. The phone lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. We have Eli on the line. Welcome to the show, Eli. How can we help?
Hello, Eli. How can I help you today?
Oh, good. I've been a patient there since the late 90s. I recently was diagnosed with prostatic cancer, and it's an adenocarcinoma. And my cardiologist had indicated that there were a couple of procedures that I could do. One was had to be do with the surgical removal of the prostate. And then the other doctor I spoke with was a radiation specialist, and he talked about radiation treatments on it. I ruled out seeing an oncologist because I guess I had a neighbor who had the same thing, same clinic, and decided to go with the surgical removal of the prostate and rejected another interview with the oncologist. But after hearing you earlier today, I probably think that was foolish. I should have talked to the oncologist to see what maybe follow-up treatment should occur. Some of them, maybe I should reschedule it. So I just wanted your opinion as to whether or not I should go ahead with that oncologist interview.
I like people to get as many opinions as possible. The fact is, doctors are human beings, and we all have our own biases, our own concerns, you know, and our own fields of expertise. You know, people who do radiation think radiation is best. That's why they do it for a living. People who think that chemotherapy is best, you know, do that because they think that's best. Surgeons think surgery is best. You know, their life motto is, and when in doubt, whack it out. So, you know, you kind of got to take into account the fact that the opinions often reflect what people do for a living. They do for a living because that's what they believe in, and in part they believe in it because that's how they make their living. So there's always, you know, this mix of motives in every human being on earth. We physicians try to be as objective as we can, but we cannot obviate the fact that we are fallible human beings. So my philosophy with something like this is to let you get exposure to as many physicians with as many opinions as possible, and then try to sort through what makes good sense to you. And then there's always a risk benefit. You know, for instance, you've had a biopsy, I presume, on your prostate cancer?
Yes, I did.
And what was your Gleason score?
Gleason score, the one that got me was the 4.0. plus three. Most of them were three plus four or less.
Yeah, so you're looking at a six or a low end, or sorry, a seven, a low end seven Gleason. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's.
And I'm a black male too. That makes a difference too.
I'm sorry, you're a what?
A black male.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because black males have a higher incidence of prostate cancer, and they have a higher incidence of aggressive prostate cancer than Caucasians. You know, we human beings, we are one major species, but our ancestors, generally most human beings never traveled more than about 20 miles from where they were born in their lifetime for most of human history. So people from sub-Saharan Africa did not get to interbreed with people from Scandinavia or China or Mongolia very often, you know. So we all develop sub-traits. We are all human beings, but we all have different propensities for different diseases. And people of sub-Saharan African ancestry have a higher incidence, a genetic propensity for aggressive prostate cancers. So that is when we have to factor in, you know, our possibilities. Statistically, the Gleason 6 and 7, if all you do is watch these people for 15 years, you do no surgery, no radiation, no chemo, no interventions. All you do is sit and check their PSAs about every 6 months for the next 15 years. 93% of them will have no significant growth of their prostate cancer. Their immune systems will keep it suppressed. 93% chance that with a Gleason 7, you probably would never be bothered by that tumor. The problem is the other 7% that can kill you. You know? Yeah. And you can't ignore that 7%, and especially given your ancestry. So, you know, we have to, I would weigh it a little heavier towards intervention with you just because of your ancestry. Your biopsy, did they send it off for a genetic analysis, looking for genetic markers to see whether or not this has a propensity to be aggressive?
I'm not sure. I did take the gallery test a few weeks ago, just before you lowered the price.
All right. Okay. Well, the trick is that there are specific genetic markers in these tumors that can give your urologist a lot of information about the risk factors of this particular tumor in your prostate, whether or not it's likely to grow fast and cause problems for you. And so a lot of urologists now, when they do the biopsy, they're sending some of those cores off just to be examined, stained and examined under the microscope. But they then also will send off a couple of cores for the genetic screening, in which they are actually looking at the genome for that particular tumor to tell how aggressive it most likely is. Because if you've got a genome in your tumor that says, yeah, this one's a nasty actor, we want to be a lot more aggressive with it. And on the other hand, if the genome in that one tumor says, nah, you know what? This is a pretty kind of slow-growing, indolent sort of guy who's, you got a good chance it's going to give you no grief, then you might want to just kind of sit tight and watch it for a while. Follow your PSAs, follow your MRIs, and say, is it growing or not? And if it's not growing, you know, you may be in that majority to skate home free. And if you see any signs of growth, then you might have to jump right on it and hit it hard. The other thing that is important in modern prostate cancer is where in the prostate is the tumor. Some tumors are right out on the margin, right out on the edge of the prostate. And just because of that proximity to the edge of the prostate, the risk of it having spread beyond the prostate and becoming a metastatic disease all of a sudden is much higher. If it's central in the prostate or low in the prostate, then they've actually now got some very localized radiation that can focus right on that tumor, right on that even part of the prostate, not even the whole prostate, and basically ablate that part of the prostate that has the tumor in it, and give you very, very low side effect profiles. Sometimes they have to hit the whole prostate because the tumor is scattered around. You got more than one site, in which case then you need to get the whole prostate. But some of the new proton-based therapies or neutron therapies and things like the gamma knife are getting really, really precise with radiation oncology, in which with some of the tumors, just because they're located in a specific spot, that they can get it out and have you have almost no side effects from your therapy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as you can see,
said there was no hurry to make a decision on whether to go that either route, and he did describe to me the radiation procedure as is the surgeon did as well.
Uh-huh.
But when he talked about the side effects of the radiation, it scared me because the biopsy showed that it was in every single part of the prostate.
Okay. So if it's widespread and through the prostate, then yes, then you're going to have to hit the whole prostate in some way. All right.
Okay.
Of course, you know,
I think I can schedule that oncologist interview as well.
Yeah. Get as much information as you can and look at as many options as you can. You know, and then I'm happy to chat with you about it, but clearly, you know, I treat the aging process, so this is not my field of specialization. I've got a modicum of knowledge about it because a lot of old guys get prostate cancer, and so it's something we come across fairly often in our practice, and so I have to kind of keep up on it. But you know, a lot of this now is individualized with your particular tumor, your particular situation, your particular needs, and the medical care for your prostate cancer needs to be customized to you. And so don't be afraid to talk to as many doctors as you want to. I think your radiation oncologist is right. You have a Gleason 7 at this point. A 7 is no rush. Like I said, statistically, writ large, 93% chance, you'd be fine if we did nothing. It's that other 7% we can't ignore. And so, you know, take your time, investigate it thoroughly, and then make your decisions. I hope that helps, sir.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Eli. We have a few minutes left of our show. I'm going to pop over to Silverdale, where Joe is waiting on the line. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Joe. And how can we help you?
A recent change in my medication. I was on Jardiance for a while, along with a couple other things. And then the doctor switched me over to Victroza. It's a liraglutide. And I hear so much about these semiglutides. And I was wondering if the doctor could explain the difference between this liraglutide versus the semiglutide
that
everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
All right.
Liraglutides and semiglutides, okay?
Yeah, well, we've got a whole lot of brand new diabetic drugs out here that, you know, we've never had available in the past. The semaglutides and its cousins, we've now got a whole host of tides out there that
yes,
that each have their own propensities. These were originally designed for diabetics, and they alter your glucose metabolism. They alter the way your body looks at metabolizing carbohydrates to sugar, and then the sugar getting it into the cells, and then having the cells metabolize it in different ways. And it became popular for weight loss because what they found was that in the process of treating people's diabetes, they started losing weight, and then when they lost the weight, their diabetes came under better control. And many people ended up not being active diabetics anymore. They would actually get lean and fit enough and start developing enough muscle mass that they were burning their sugars efficiently and not needing medication to keep the sugars down. So that kind of put a whole new face on diabetes therapies. You've got a host of these, the Jardiance, and then you've got a newer one that was, I forget what it's called, Jardis something, that it's actually a mixture of metformin and Jardiance.
Oh, yes, we had that last week.
Yeah, a lady called in, had it, and we had to look it up for her. So there's a series of these drugs out now. They're all fairly similar in that they're, instead of just driving your sugars down or stimulating your pancreas to make more insulin, they're actually altering the way your whole body responds to carbohydrate metabolism. And the benefits are turning out to be legion. We're finding that the people using these drugs now are having fewer heart attacks. They're having less congestive heart failure. There is less dementia. It's actually altering the glucose metabolism in the brain and allowing the brain to function better longer. It's altering bone metabolism. So all of these, this whole new panoply of medications that have come out in the last several years is just a revolution in our approach to diabetes. Mm-hmm. But in the process of treating diabetes, we're now treating obesity, heart disease, dementia, osteoporosis, the works, they're all being impacted. And it's just fascinating. I'm not sure which one works best for you as an individual. And, you know, that's that would be my question with your doctor is, why did he want to change? What was the old drug not doing that he wants the new drug to do better? Or what kind of adverse effect were you having from the old drug? Or is it just a matter of cost? Yeah. What was the reasoning? He had a reason to make the change.
Well, I'm treated by Kaiser. And originally I was put on the Jardiance along with a couple of other drugs for weight things, I guess, for the glucose and whatever. But there was one called Naltrexone.
Naltrexone,
another
yeah.
one called, bupropion.
Okay.
Bupropion. Jardiance. Those three came at the same time from the doctor. And then I started breaking out in my face with these blotches, skin kind of lesions. Like a pimple, but it wasn't a pimple. And I thought, my God, I'm looking hideous. So I told the doctor, I said, I don't want to go out in public looking like this. Looks like you got some kind of skin disease. And he goes, well, let's try something different. And then they switched me to the Victroza and dropped the Jardiance and the other drugs. But I'm still on metformin, and I do take insulin because I'm diabetic. So it seems to be working out now with the new drug, but I didn't know if it was another form of I would call them semi-glutides or what, but it looks like it is, I suppose.
Yeah, they're all related. The impact is relatively similar, but they all each have their own side effect profiles, and it sounds like that's what he's shooting for. He's trying to get you the same results, but with fewer side effect profiles. So,
and I guess they didn't want to go to the semi-glutide because the cost is so high, much higher.
It is high. On the other hand, they have compounded versions of it now that are much cheaper. Although it's kind of odd, the insurance companies will pay for the $1,200 version from the from Big Pharma. But they won't pay the $300 from the compounded version.
Wow.
So I don't know what's going on.
What's wrong with
there.
This?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I have a second question real quick.
Sure.
I know we're running out of time. I'm trying to get them to sponsor the Cologuard, but they won't do it. because they wanted me to go in and have the full, you know, the colorectal thing. And okay. So I said, I would pay for it if it's $200-$300. I don't care.
That's but about what it is.
Prescribe it.
Oh, damn.
Well, what is it?
It's about $300.
But they,
yeah.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's only a couple hundred bucks.
Myself. They just, but they won't sure. let me do it. They, a doctor has to do it. I called Cologuard on thing, and they said, no, you need a doctor's prescription. And I thought, because I used to be with your clinic, I thought maybe if I came back, one of your people could prescribe
well, we,
it.
We'd do it for you. That's not a problem. But you know, my insurance company just sent me a kid out.
No.
Happy birthday, yeah. Dr. Mixon. Yeah, here's
I'm with United Healthcare, and no doctor prescribed it for me. The insurance company just sent it.
Wow.
Showed up at my front door.
They said they can't do it.
Okay.
I asked Cologuard. I said they won't do it without a doctor's signature.
Yeah. All right. Well, apparently United Healthcare has their own doctors or something. Because for me, it just showed up at my front door.
But I still need a doctor to look at the Cologuard results, right?
No. The lab sends the report out to whoever orders it. So yeah, if the doctor orders it, the doctor will get the report. In my case, because I just mailed it back to him. Because I came from the insurance company, I got the report back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just said, nope, everything's fine. Everything's no signs. Good. So
there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. We have run out of time, Joe. Thank you for the call. If you have more questions, please call
thank
our next
you.
Program or give us all a right. call next week, okay?
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. My name is Lynette. Dr. Mixon will be back. We'll be live in the studio again next week. We invite you to stay tuned. Also, next week is our gallery test. That is the test for the 50 different types of cancers, and you do need an appointment for that. If you'd like more information, here is that number, because we are taking appointments. This is appointments only at all three of our clinics, but here's the number you need, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back next time on Leading Edge Medicine. Have a great rest of your day.